We have Gregory Danilek. Greg is the epidemiology program manager for the Florida Department of Health in Polk County. He's also an adjunct faculty member with the Florida State University College of Medicine and an adjunct instructor with the University of Central Florida College of Nursing. He has a PhD in microbiology from Colorado State University and a Master of Public Health degree in epidemiology from the University of South Florida.
Thank you. I'd actually like to begin by acknowledging my co-authors, Chris Johnson in particular. She was the one that actually did the case reviews and did the analyses. She had been a Florida Emerging Infectious Diseases Fellow in my program at the Florida Department of Health in Polk County. And also need to acknowledge Heather Rubino, who this project was her brainchild. So the objectives of this presentation include, So the objectives of this presentation include characterizing respiratory syncytial virus associated pediatric deaths in Florida, both medically and demographically. We'll include the details of the methods for identifying and collecting information on the RSV-associated case, pediatric mortality cases, and describe some of the challenges that we encountered in data collection and opportunities to improve data quality. I'm sure a lot of you know about RSV by now, but I'll just briefly, nearly all children exposed by the age of one. Upper bound limits seem to suggest that there might be a hospitalization up to 125,000 children annually, although probably considerably less than that realistically, and a 2% mortality rate for those in particular particularly high-risk categories. And that would those high-risk categories include prematurity, young age, and pre-existing medical conditions. And as we've heard, Florida has the longest RSV season in the United States and unique regional seasonality, including in particular, for example, Southeast Florida, which has virtually year-round RSV activity. Immune prophylaxis is available for high-risk children, the palivizumab, and the requirements for that are that the children, that the child is born prematurely, had been born prematurely, or had congenital heart disease, or chronic lung disease, or immunocompromised, or immunocompromised, and it's administered to those who are under 2 years of age within 1 month of the beginning of the local RSV season. So the purpose of this study was to pilot the Florida Department of Health case report form for RSV pediatric RSV-associated pediatric mortalities, and as I said earlier, describe medically and demographically the, those mortalities in Florida. So these are the methods that we used. We queried initial literal causes of death in vital statistics death records data that's available to us in Florida via Essence Florida. The case definition that we used was individuals who are less than 18 years, who expired between January 1st of 2010 and September 30th, 2015, with RSV or syncytial listed as an initial literal cause of death on their death certificate. We requested the medical records from the Florida Department of Health, County Health Department staff, and their infection control practitioners in the respective hospitals where the deaths occurred, and then uploaded those into our Merlin surveillance system. Those data were extracted using a case report form and entered into EpiInfo 7, and ultimately descriptive statistics and frequencies were performed to describe those cases. So we identified 39 total deaths within that time frame. We were able to obtain 30 medical records or autopsy reports for those cases. 17 of those cases included laboratory results, and 10 of those cases actually included the laboratory results themselves within the record. There were 30 full records, as I mentioned, or autopsies reviewed. 23 of those included medication lists, and as I said, only 10 included the actual labs themselves. Particularly noteworthy is that none of the records indicated that palivizumab had been used prior to the child presenting at the hospital. And also meant to include, according to the hospital of death, there were no records available for three patients, including one who arrived deceased. For the cases where medical records were not available, some of the relevant information, such as the demographics and contributing causes, were available from the death certificate. And this would be a good time to mention that one of our experiences in requesting these records from the hospitals, with a lot of the infection preventionists and medical records staff, were telling us that the transition from paper to electronic health records greatly impeded their ability to locate those records and get them along to us. So it was an issue that we did encounter. So for the total of the 39 deaths that we identified, over 90% of the cases under 5 years of age, 90% of the cases were under 5 years of age. The two that were over five were 12 and 13, respectively. 59% were under 1 year. The most common presentation was fever, difficulty breathing, and coughing, in that order. And roughly half of those cases would have been eligible for prophylaxis. So on this map, you can see the different RSV regions in Florida. And as I've mentioned, the southeast region does have that RSV going around year-round. So the numbers that are on top of those regions, those are the numbers of deaths by those region, within those regions for this time period. And the numbers off to the side in the other boxes are the ones, the numbers of deaths where the cases were identified as being eligible for prophylaxis by those respective regions. So, for example, 11 deaths in southeast Florida with 7 cases that were identified as having been eligible for prophylaxis. And central Florida, interestingly, had 14 deaths with 6 cases identified as having been eligible for prophylaxis. And this definition would have been based on their age, their pre-existing conditions, and the seasonality of the infection. So this is a chart showing the distribution by race and ethnicity for the 39 deaths total. And you can see that there were 17 deaths roughly. There were 17 deaths where race was listed as black. The 9 deaths listed as white are white non-Hispanic, and where the 10 deaths listed as Hispanic are actually white Hispanic. So while the proportion of white Hispanic reflects the overall population distribution for that group in Florida, the number of cases with race listed as black is more than double when compared to the state proportion. Next slide. Here are the number of deaths within each month, and you can see the distribution of the number of deaths tended to coincide with the Florida RSV season, and that the deaths within the study period occurred in nearly all months. And rather than make this slide too busy, I will point out that surprisingly to us was that a lot of the deaths, most of the deaths actually, except for one, for the May to August period occurred outside of the southeast Florida region and actually occurred more in the central Florida region. These are the here's a summary of some of the medical findings. All the deaths whose medication lists were available were prescribed antibiotics to treat symptoms that were exacerbated by the bacterial infections. 7 of the deaths were identified as likely nosocomial, and that was either because they were in the hospital from the time of their birth until their death, or they had been admitted for a different diagnosis, such as cancer. And all cases with the available medical records had at least one pre-existing condition, and you can see on the chart here that most had more than one, and those ranged up to 5. And here are the frequency of those pre-existing conditions among the mortality cases, most common ones being prematurity, chronic lung disease, and congenital heart disease. And as you'll recall, all of those are considered to be pre-existing conditions that determine that the patient would have been a candidate for prophylaxis. The other category listed included conditions such as Down syndromes, microcephaly, scoliosis, and so on. So in conclusion, the study validated the use of death certificate data by comparing information in medical records to data collected from death certificates. For this study period, we learned that the 39 RSV-associated pediatric deaths were actually greater than the influenza-associated pediatric deaths for that same time period, which were 21. Suggesting that RSV infection is more commonly listed as a cause of death than influenza among Florida children. The piloted case report form was useful in capturing relevant information. The age and the medical characteristics were consistent with previous studies, where most of the deaths were under 1 year of age and had pre-existing conditions, and which likely contributed to the severity of their illness. And the results also showed that palivizumab was likely being underutilized among those who were eligible. Again, none of the reviewed deaths mentioned its use prior to admission. And this suggests that more work needs to be done to ensure that pediatricians are aware of the benefits of administering palivizumab quickly and consistently for high-risk patients, especially in Florida, where the extended RSV seasonality increases the likelihood of infection, as well as improving its accessibility to racial minorities. And the discovery of likely nosocomial deaths suggests that visitors should be screened for respiratory symptoms and should be masked. And in conclusion, I need to acknowledge the assistance of our county health department colleagues and the infection preventionists at the respective hospitals where we requested medical records from, truly outstanding cooperation from everybody, and also Dr. German Gonzalez with Florida Department of Health Bureau of Epidemiology for valuable feedback. And that concludes my presentation.
We saw the raw numbers of cases against the geography of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do an adjustment for per capita age, the number of children of that age on the geography and use that as a denominator? That is, are those areas that have higher levels just have more children or not?
No, not yet. We have not done that.
Okay.
But that's certainly something that we'll be looking at, yes.
I look at raw numbers. To me, that doesn't mean anything.
Absolutely.
If you did it to Michigan, Southeast Michigan, where Detroit is, would all have all the cases, and you think, oh, that's where this hotbed. No, just that that's all the people are.
No.
And that we need to be mindful of in that is the fact that this is 5 years' worth of data, so you're talking about very small n's.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit hesitant to calculate a rate when it's like an n of one per year with a denominator of millions.
Right.
But it's a good point.
And in aggregate, it would be a reasonable thing to do.
I was just curious about all the records that didn't have laboratory data available. Is that it's in a different system and hard to pull in, or just curious?
So
elaborate.
Go ahead.
Sure. So for that, what we did is we reached out to the counties where these deaths occurred and asked the counties whether or not they wanted to assist us in helping get the medical records or if they would just give us the contact information for the hospital to get us those medical records. Once the hospital was asked, either through the county health department or through direct contact with the hospital, it was up to the hospital to send us whatever records they wanted. We had some guidance about what records we were interested in. But if they didn't send it, we followed up once, and then we just didn't keep hounding them for all of the details. So we were really lucky that they were willing to participate, and we had so many people, right? It's not a nationally notifiable condition, and it's not reportable in our state. So the fact that we got such phenomenal partnership from the counties is not in the least bit surprising, but very appreciated.
Yes.
So you created a form, because you sounded like you were sort of testing out this form for data collection for mortality. And I guess the next step is, are you looking to make it a notifiable condition?
Sure, yeah.
I'm glad you asked that. We just had a round table 45 minutes right before this. In Florida.
Sorry, I was at an Indian buffet.
We're not going down that road. We find that we're able to get a lot of really great surveillance information this way, that we don't need to make it nationally notifiable to do the surveillance. And I think that that's a really important point to make about RSV surveillance at the state level anyways, is that a lot of us are already doing a lot more without anything being nationally notifiable because the demand is there to do the surveillance and we think it's important. So putting the investment and formalizing the cost, both in time, labor, and IT work to states, for us right now is not a priority by making it national.
Thank you.
Okay.
And Jose, there actually is a national RSV case report form, sort of, right? That's currently in use, so it's not, yeah.